Hello and welcome to another Pet Radio podcast. My name is Robert Paul Hudson, and today we are talking about enrichment activities for your cat. Why that's important, and what does it mean? In a nutshell, it is keeping your cat from being bored and providing ways for your cat to engage in things that stimulate its senses and mind and thought, and while keeping them safe indoors. Our first guest is Bill Edwards from Cats with Altitude, who makes window catios, and then our friend Marilyn Krieger, a certified cat behaviorist, discusses various ways of providing your cat with enrichment activities that will really enrich your cat's life, keep them healthy and long-living and safe. And we're going to get started in just a moment, but first I want to tell you that in our store, our online store on our website, we're currently carrying Dogs Love Kale Treats, a treat that is healthy for your dog, giving it superfood nutrients for a healthy life. And if you buy 3 bags, you get 1 bag for free, a fourth one for free, 4 bags for the price of 3. And the shipping is included. All sales help fund this website and keep it going. Well, joining me now is Bill Edwards from Cats with an Altitude. Welcome to the Pet Radio Show, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Now, Cats with an Altitude, you have a pretty neat-looking product, what's known as a cat patio, an enclosure that gives cats, indoor cats, the feeling of being outdoors. But what's unique about yours is that it fits in your window, just like an air conditioner, without much work or without much fuss. Is that right?
That is exactly right. When we designed our product, and it's called a lot of different names, catio, patio, cat porch, we have ours called the Kitty Peeper. And essentially, they are a box that fits in the window like an air conditioner, and they have 3 screened insides, so that the cat can get a 180-degree view of the outdoors and enjoy some fresh air.
And it's really that simple, right? I from the pictures, it looked as if you have the sort of like flaps that come out to just like an air conditioner does, I guess, to block off the empty space on either side of the of the unit in the window, and then you
yes, that's correct,
and that's for windows that open, you know, that up and down. But you also have one for sliding windows that go from side to side, I understand.
Exactly. We have essentially two different models. One is for up and down windows, which are of course the most common, and then we also have a model for sliding windows. Mm-hmm. And our kitty peepers come in 2 widths. The large, which are the most popular, are 24 inches wide, and the smalls are 18 inches wide, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when you consider what cats like, which are boxes, even big cats find the 18-inch model just perfect for their bodies, and they absolutely enjoy them. And yes, we have each kitty peeper comes with an assortment of side panel pieces. So that, for example, if you have a window with 31 inches and you get a large, you have all these little pieces of various widths to attach to the kitty peeper to cover up the left and right sides that are open. And that seals up the window just perfectly. And one of the other nice features about our Kitty Peeper product is that there's nothing that attaches to the window frame. There's nothing that needs to be supported from the outside. And literally, once you get the side panel pieces set up the way you want them, the kitty peeper itself goes in and out of the window in 15 seconds.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting because I've always been an apartment dweller, and I know how difficult it can be living in an apartment to get permission to put anything in a window or anything that requires attachment to the building. They really seem to frown upon that. I've even had trouble getting an okay to have an air conditioner in a window in apartments I've lived in. So
yes.
This can fit and be supported without a stand or any or about. There's no mounting equipment, a brace or anything that's attached to
Nothing.
The building.
The way that they're secured in the window is that the window, in an example of an up and down window, the window sash is pulled down behind the front plate on the top of the kitty peeper, and along the bottom of the kitty peeper is a rung which sits inside the window sash well, where the window would normally sit when it's closed. And when that window sash is pushed down and on top of that kitty peeper, it's locked in solid. But again, the nice thing is the side panel pieces all attach to the kitty peeper, not to the window frame itself. So once you have that all set up in the way you want it, it comes with a handle, and you can just literally pop it in and out of the window within 15 seconds. The large models weigh about 15 pounds. The small model weighs about 13 pounds. So they're very light. But very, very strong.
Well, if there's no flat platform or something for it to sit on, how does it? It's just sitting on the window track or something. So how does it keep from tipping over if it's got nothing to support it?
Well, it does. It is supported by the window. If you look at a picture on our website of a kitty peeper, the top bar on the top is very large, it's very wide. The window goes down behind that bar in between some securing tabs. And the bottom of the kitty peeper has a rung, and it sits in the window sash well, and when the window comes down, it locks. It's there. You could put a four or five big bags of sugar in there, and it
works.
And I mean, one of the questions we get asked all the time is how much weight can they hold? And really, we designed them so that a toddler could crawl into one and be perfectly safe.
Wow.
And we have these things all over high rises, and we've never ever in our 10 years of business had anybody say, "Oh, it fell out of the window" or anything. Horrific, like that. So we've been very lucky.
So if someone has one of these supersized cats or an obese cat or something, I had a cat once that got to be close to 30 pounds, but it'll handle them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even large cats, we've sold them for dogs. We've made them for monkeys. I am
monkeys.
Not joking. We've actually made them for monkeys.
Wow.
And and even big cats find it the opportunity to get outside. You know, our philosophy is that indoor cats, they deserve the opportunity to get out and be in touch with their wild side by having a place, you know, that they can go and see 180 degrees around their outdoor environment.
Yeah.
But it's even more than that. It's the ability to experience breezes and smells and sounds, these things that are natural to their instincts.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that for a cat in particular, they really hone in on their senses.
And what this does
is expose them their senses to everything that they would experience outdoors, all the smells and as you said, the breeze blowing and the sunshine and all this, you know, that they don't necessarily get indoors. And it also gives them a feeling, I would think, of kind of being out there. You know, I mean, kind of. I mean, they can't walk around or run or anything, but they can.
Yeah.
They can.
Well,
I
think what you're saying is when they're in these, they're in cat mode.
Yeah.
You can just see it. When I watch my cat inside his kitty peeper, his little chest is going in and out like an accordion. He's taking in everything. And it really does enhance that aspect of their feline nature. It lets them tap into that in a way that there's just nothing else out there like it that will.
Yeah.
And even in the colder weather, cats enjoy using them.
Sure.
Since they relate to cold differently than humans do. But beyond all those reasons, we're really convinced that an outdoor exposure for indoor cats afforded by a product like ours helps indoor cats live calmer, happier lives, and gives them the opportunity to feel natural sunlight, moonlight, and darkness, and all of these things that are attuned to their feline nature in a way that nothing else really can.
And it's really the perfect solution, as we mentioned a bit ago, for people living in apartments or townhouses or something, where even if they wanted to let their cat outside, there's no real safe place for them to roam around or anything. Nobody wants to have their cat walking around in a parking lot in a street, and in many apartment complexes, especially in the cities, that's what it being outside amounts to, right? So,
yes, that's right. We sell a great deal to apartment complexes. We also considered when we designed our kitty peeper to be rather inconspicuous and also to look very nice in the window. Mm-hmm. And we realized that this was an issue not just for apartment dwellers, but also for folks that live in homeowners associations areas. Where, you know, they get a little persnickety about things. We've never run across a customer that had a problem where they were refused either in an apartment or in a homeowners association area. So we're pretty successful with regard to that.
Do you make these yourself? I mean, are these handmade?
They are handmade. I'm a retiree. And my friend Richard is also retired. We have a little two-man shop, and we make these lovingly by hand. They take a considerable amount of time to make, and there are a lot of steps involved in putting each one together. But we're very proud of them. When we put these in a box, there is no greater feeling knowing that an indoor cat is going to have a new enhancement that nothing else can afford it. And if you look at our customer comment page, you'll see exactly how wonderful these are. And the biggest complaint I get from customers is that their cat ignores them now and just sits in the kitty peeper all day, which is horrible for that person, I guess, but even they just really appreciate having it. And we have recently introduced a new model to our lineup. We generally have as our popular models a flap entryway system, so that the whole front of the kitty peeper is covered by flaps, which the cat can go into and out of. And the flaps work similarly to a meat locker or a beer barn thing, where you walk in between the flaps. It keeps the air from the outside and the air on the inside. They're not airtight, but they're pretty darn good. And even in colder climates, you can leave them in the window year round. But we also have a new model now with a plexiglass front and a cat door. And it's somewhat prohibitive if you have a narrow windowsill ledge, because for a cat door, a cat has to be able to enter it pretty directly. For the flap system, they can get in it almost at any angle and be in it lickety-split. My cat can literally jump from the floor into his kitty peeper, and just one small, quick move, he's got it down.
Wow.
Of course, he's had it for a long time.
Well, if you hand make these to order, basically, how long does it take for someone to receive their unit when they order it from you? How long does it take for you to make it?
Roughly speaking, it takes us between 3 and 5 business days from order to shipment. And basically what we do is we accumulate orders, and on Sundays we do all our cutting in the shop, and then build them and prepare them and ship them out during the week, day after day. So depending on the number of orders, things can get pretty hairy. Winter time, it slows down a little bit. Spring and fall, right now we're in a rather busy period of time. Mm-hmm. But we are able to accommodate folks pretty quickly. And one other thing I wanted to mention is we do sell to international customers, but we do it through eBay. And we do that because eBay has an international sellers buyers program where they can ship and handle all the customs and tariffs forms flawlessly and quickly, whereas if we do the shipping and handle all of that stuff, it costs about 2/3 more than what eBay charges for shipping and so forth. So if any international folks are listening to this and wondering, could you accommodate me, they should contact us on the website and we'll send them instructions as to what to do.
Oh, cool. So through eBay, you can ship anywhere in the world, I guess.
Basically, there are some areas we don't ship to because the shipping is just too prohibitive. Right. But to Western Europe and Japan and places like that, we can accommodate quite easily, and look forward to having customers from those areas. Canada as well is where we get most of our international orders from.
Sure.
I understand. You're right. Yes. Yeah. They're a part of us, whether you know, it's basically just a geographical border, but when it comes to the internet and commerce and things like that, we're fairly well attuned. Yeah. And I did want to give just a few more tidbits of information as to what the peepers are made of.
Okay.
We as you mentioned before, we construct these from start to finish by hand. The frame is constructed of lightweight, high-strength material specifically designed for outdoor use. Mm. And we went this route so that we could avoid wood or metal. Wood is often manufactured with a lot of chemicals, and wood deteriorates over time. Ours does not. It's resistant, basically impervious to water and UV deterioration, and will last for years and years and years. We also use a high-quality pet-safe screening. It's a 7-cord nylon mesh that's extremely strong, and those are mounted on screen frames, and then the screen frames are screwed into the frame of the kitty peeper, and nothing's getting in and out, including pests, rodents, flies, fleas, anything of that nature. Your cat is completely protected. As I mentioned before, the standard models have the flaps in the front, and we also, as I mentioned before, we have a plexiglass model now, which they can see on the website. Mm-hmm. And the floors are fiberglass sheets, 2-ply. We mount back to back 2-ply sheets of plexiglass, which are mounted on all 4 sides of the kitty peeper frame inside the frame, so they're extremely strong, even though they're lightweight.
So this isn't,
and we put a,
this isn't cheap molded plastic or anything of that sort.
Oh no, no, definitely not.
Well, it sounds as if it can withstand all the elements of the outdoor elements, that is weatherproof and very snug and doesn't let anything indoors, as you said, that it protects the cat and your home from bugs coming in the summertime or whatever.
Yes, they are made to be rained on and snowed on and sleeted on. You don't do anything with them. If it rains, you just keep it in the window. It has drainage on the floor, and it air dries fairly quickly. But there's literally nothing to do. I had a customer recently contact me and send me a picture of her kitty peeper that she had in a basement window. And she had basically just left it in there for about 4 years. And she sent me the picture of the interior of it. And it was just full of cat hair and things where the cat had basically lived in there. But it's an indication of exactly how easy it is to just have one of these in the window, and just basically it's there for the cat and you don't have to worry about anything.
Sure. Well, that sounds great. It sounds pretty simple and straightforward, and I can't imagine why anyone, if they're considering something like this, wouldn't go for it. And I presume that, I don't know what your pricing is, but I presume it's within an affordable range for most people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Our most popular model is the large 24 inch with the flap entryway, and those are $192. And that doesn't include shipping. Shipping is on our website, and when they order, shipping gets built into the final price. And our small with the flap entryway is $177. Now, that's for the up and down windows. Our deluxe model is the most expensive. That's the one with the plexiglass entryway and the cat door, and that's $261 plus shipping. So, and the slide window models are just slightly more than the regular models for up and down windows, but not much. And we provide the paneling that covers the top of a sliding window installation instead of the left and the right sides of the kitty peeper that you would cover with an up and down window. So either way, they get a kitty peeper that is fully manufactured, nothing to put together except the side panel pieces, which of course the customer has to do because, you know, all windows are different. And but they're very easy. Most customers report that they have it set up within 15 minutes and their cat's in it and enjoying it right away. We offer, you know, as a small business, we offer a lot of customer support. If we run into a particular issue with a particular window frame, we generally can offer advice as to how to fix that and move forward. So far we haven't run into any issues.
I imagine that that kind of scenario that you just described doesn't happen all that often. But if something does, there's usually a way to work around it or whatnot. So that's...
Yeah, the most common problems we have, and it's really very rare, is when you run into some of these old houses that literally don't have a window sash well. In other words, the window just comes down onto a flat plate. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, they have to put a shim underneath the kitty peeper. But even then, it's not much of a hassle to rectify that type of issue if it comes up. And we have never run into an installation yet that we couldn't make successful. Wow. And even saying that, it's extremely rare. Wow. I'd say 95-98% of the cases, these work just fine in any window that the customer has. Wow. And I would encourage folks to visit us online. Our web address is catswithanaltitude.com, not attitude, but altitude. Yes, I know it's an odd name, but that's what we went with. If they want to just simply find us on Google, just Google kitty peeper, KITTI, and peeper, PEEPER, and we'll come right up in the search results. We love to talk to folks and figure out what they need and how best to help accommodate their feline friends, because really it is a thing that can give cats, especially indoor cats, a new lease on life. And I don't say that to boast. It just helps them so much. I mean, sure. We all see cats sitting in the window, staring out, and this just transforms that experience in a way that is hard to describe until you see your cat inside one.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it. Well, with me now is Marilyn Krieger, a certified cat behavior consultant known by some as a feline behaviorist and a friend of the Pet Radio Show, a longtime friend. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi. Thank you for asking me to be on again.
Well, it's been a while. In fact, I was thinking about you the other day, and I was thinking that, you know, you were one of my first guest on the show a few years back when I was working with Susan Logan, who was the editor of Cat Fancy back then, which is now Catster. And she was bringing guests to my show, and if I remember right, she brought you to my show. That was about 6 years ago, I think, now. Does that sound right?
I think it's been longer than that.
Really?
But that could be.
Well, it's certainly good to have you back once again. I've missed you.
Well, thank you. I've missed being on your show.
Now, I wanted to talk to you today about different ways that one can enrich the lives of their cat to give them more stimulation, mental stimulation. And from your point of view, why is enrichment for cats important? And what does the term mean to you?
What is the term that I use?
When we talk about cat enrichment, I don't know exactly how else to phrase it, but from your point of view, what does that term mean? When people are talking about enrichment, what should they be talking about from your point of view?
Well, okay, we can actually start for why it's important. We'll start there, and then that'll get into enrichment. First of all, it is better for cats to be indoors. It's much safer for them. But having said that, they can become bored, especially when cats are left alone all day with nothing to do. And so that's the first thing. Now, also, it is important that they have things to do that imitate the hunt, for instance, because it stimulates their brain, mental stimulation. It also keeps them from being bored, but movement and doing things keeps them from becoming obese, which is a big problem that many cats are facing right now because they don't have the stimulation things to do. Now, one thing that people do, they don't quite feed in the way I think they should. The way that cats eat in the wild is that they eat multiple meals throughout the day, small meals. They're hunters, they're predators. They don't just eat once or twice a day. They also don't graze. So one thing that helps with stimulation is to imitate the way that they eat. In other words, give many small meals throughout the day. Some of them the cats can work a little bit for. So one way of doing that, for instance, is through puzzle toys, and you don't have to spend lots of money on puzzle toys. You can do things as simple as buying PVC connectors and putting a little food in them. You can also do treasure hunts, which means putting food in different areas so the cat has to kind of hunt for the food. You don't want to make it too difficult. You just want to challenge the cat a little. You don't want to frustrate the cat.
Well,
puzzle toys are good.
That's interesting you say that, because I can remember last year sometime I interviewed a woman who started a business making a product to do what you described. It was some sort of object that would hold the food, and then she would hide them in all different places around the house or apartment or whatever. So the cat, instead of eating it off out of a bowl, the cat would go around sniffing out, finding where little small portions of food were mm-hmm. hidden. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of it. But have you heard of something like that before? Is that?
Oh yeah. Oh, sure. There are quite a few food puzzles and things like that have been developed for that reason. And they're very effective. They're all very effective. You don't have to spend a lot of money, though. You know, you can make your own. You can even use a muffin tin, and then the cat has to pull the food out. And you can mix it up a little bit. You don't always do the same thing. You vary it a bit. Hmm. Also, the other thing. So here's the thing. A lot of people work, so it's hard for them to feed the cat while they're gone. Well, there are automatic feeders, auto-timed feeders. There are even some for canned food that you can get, and you time them to open specific times throughout the day, even if you're not there.
And it's portioned so that they can't overeat, right?
Right, because what you want to do is divide the amount of food that they normally should have. You divide it into multiple meals. You feed them multiple times throughout the day, same amount.
What about if you have more than one cat in the house?
Mm-hmm. Well, then you have to, so that's a very good question. So you might need two feeders, but then... It depends on the cat. Some cats will eat the other's food. Some cats are more gluttony than the others. Yeah. There are some feeders that you can get that, let me see, there's something on there, if they can wear a collar, and there's a little microchip that will open it. So that's an option. But then, too, you can just use it by timing. So, for instance, when you get up in the morning, you might feed the cat. Just before you go to work, you might feed the cat. When you get home, immediately before you go to bed. So it's just, you need to make sure that it works into your schedule. But that's just with food. There are other things that need to be done with the cat. There are specific toys the cat needs that the cat will enjoy. So, for instance, there are some ball and track toys the cats enjoy. You can make them a little bit novel by rubbing a treat on them. Also, there are other things you can do, too. You can get, you can make broth ice cubes. You have to make your own broth. So, for instance, if your cat loves chicken, you can boil a chicken. Don't put any garlic or onion or salt. Nothing is in it, and that's why you cannot use commercial broth at all. Right. Then you can pour that into ice cube trays and freeze it. Just before you go to work, you can give the cat two of these cubes. Put it in a nice shallow bowl. Cats enjoy that. There are also little puzzle toys. They're little boxes with holes in it. And you can put toys in there that they enjoy. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do. Also, it's very important that you play with the cat in a way that perhaps imitates the hunt. And this is based on Pam Johnson Bennett's method, in which you pull the toy away from the cat and let the cat catch the toy. You don't want to frustrate the cat. The very last catch, you immediately give the cat something good to eat, and the cat will eat and groom, may or may not go to sleep. Another thing, it's extremely important that you give the cat high places, vertical territory, such as tall cat trees. Positioning it next to a window is good, so the cat can see outside and be entertained by whatever is going on outside, the birds, for instance. Should I continue, or does that kind of answer your question?
No,
I mean, I can go on forever.
No, I think it's fascinating. In fact, you're putting all sorts of new questions in my head while you were talking there. So, but Well, let me ask you, do you think, which is more important, or are they equally important, mental stimulation or physical exercise type of stimulation?
They're both very important. First of all, if the cat isn't stimulated and the cat is bored, the cat may become depressed and just lay around and not do a lot of movement. So both are extremely important and go hand in hand.
It's not like you can do calisthenics with your cat. So how do you get, what sort of exercise can you do with your cat?
Well, the play that I just described to you, and you do have multiple play sessions with the cat. Now, you have to make sure that you play within the cat's limit. You don't want to overexert a cat. Right. So you drag the toy away from the cat. You let the cat catch it. And then you can give them a little bit of food. The other thing, too, is that by providing them lots of things to jump up on, you can play by dragging the toy up on the vertical territory. And again, depending on the cat, it may be 5 feet or higher. Also, you want to give the cat places to hide. So, for instance, boxes, paper bags without handles, because you always want to make sure it's safe.
Okay.
And then, too, when you do these treasure hunts, if you're hiding little pieces of food here and there or treats that are healthy, you do it up high. The cat has to jump up high to get it instead of just grazing out of a bowl.
Sure. I remember from speaking to you in the past that you're a big proponent of training your cat to do various things. Now is that when you're engaging with your cat and training them, and maybe you can talk about what sort of things you can train your cat to do but is that good mental stimulation, just the process of training them and focusing their attention?
Absolutely. And I use clicker training. Clicker training is a very powerful tool. Mm-hmm. It's a way of reinforcing good behaviors, things that the cat's doing. And yes, you can easily train them to sit, to shake hands, all sorts of things.
Really?
It's fun for the cat. In fact, I have a book about it called Naughty No More, which focuses on how to use clicker training, how to do it, and how to use it to change behaviors, as well as teach little tricks to the cat.
Ah.
And the answer is yes. Yes, it is very powerful. The other thing, too, I want to say, though, about mental stimulation, about clicker training, it's very effective, I have found it anyway, for stopping the symptoms of dementia and cognitive decline. I found it very effective, even if it means the cat is tracking the toy or reaching for it. Very basic clicker training seems to really help.
Is that process, does it kind of hone in on the cat's senses? You know, kind of stirs up their senses when they're involved in training and with you?
Well, it can. I mean, animals are very smart. Cats are very smart. You know, they're very easy to train. And certainly involving their senses is an important thing to do. You're involving perhaps their hearing and their sight. Now, but you did bring something up, though, that I'm segueing a little bit. When you are providing enrichment for a cat and working with a cat for mental and physical stimulation, it is helpful to use all the senses. So, in other words, that is sight, right? That is hearing, but that's also smell. Smell is very important to cats. So you can make a toy more desirable by rubbing a little treat on it, or you can just so the smell is there, or if you are giving the cat dry or like a dehydrated meat or something, you can roll it down or roll it for the cat to chase, so you have movement and you have the smell. Make sense?
It does, yes, indeed. Well, what do you think of cat patios? Is that a way to provide enrichment for an outdoor cat? I mean, for an indoor cat, and is that in and of itself a good form of enrichment?
It can be. Enclosures can be very good for cats and very stimulating. That is, you want to make sure there's enough stuff in the enclosure for the cat to do. You want to make sure that there are things to climb, make sure there's food, there's water, there's areas of shade where the cat can get out of, you know, out of the sun or out of the rain. But certainly, enclosures can be very good for cats.
Now, what
about, not necessary. It depends on the cat, of course.
Sure. Now, what about a cat patio in its simplest form, like one that, like a window cat patio? I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but it's an enclosure that sits in your window. In fact, I have a new sponsor that's doing this, where it fits in the window just like an air conditioner would, and gives the opportunity for the cat to lie out and feel the breeze and have all the outdoor smells and feel the sunshine and all that without having to be outside. Does that work too?
Sure, as long as, again, you have plenty of enrichment indoors as well, whether it's an enclosure that's outside or whether one of the ones that fit into the window, that can be very effective. But you want to make sure there's enough other than the smells and feeling the sun. The cat has to have stuff to do. And it has to be comfortable as well. You have to make sure there's something comfortable for the cat to lie on the window catio thing.
So what, maybe put a couple of their favorite cat toys in there, like a one that hangs from the ceiling or something?
You could. I am assuming that the window insert is something the cat has the choice of going in and out of.
Well,
and
yes,
that's extremely important. Is that correct?
Of course, yes. And opening, you know, indoors where it can step into this thing. And then they have one that has like flaps on it that they push themselves through. And they also have it lined on the inside with padding and so forth. But that's one alternative. But I was just curious if what you thought of those type of things in general, and if they're important as part of your enrichment plan.
It depends on the cat. That's the thing. My cats don't need it. They have so much enrichment inside, and they've never wanted to go outside, so they don't. And they don't want to. They have plenty of things to do in the house. But I also have clients, because I do consultations, and I have plenty of clients whose cats do want to go outside, and though I think it's very beneficial for them. There are also fences that you can get. If you have a yard, you can install a fence to keep the cat in and other animals out, and those are really cool too.
Okay. Well, I know. I also know of a company I've seen on the internet that makes these sort of, I don't know how to describe it, sort of a collapsible enclosure. It can be anything from a temporary to a semi, permanent fixture, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Well, again, it depends on what's inside of them, and you don't want them boring for the cat. I mean, just being outside in an enclosure with nothing to do, I don't recommend that. I think there needs to be stuff for the cat to do, and it needs to be a place they can get out of the sun. It needs to be a place with place to sleep, with water, with food, a litter box, also things to climb on, stuff to do. Otherwise, it's boring. And
sure,
that's what we're trying to do, is fight boring.
Now, how do you fight obesity with the enrichment things that you mentioned? I know what the way you just dispense the food, making them kind of work for it and look for it, I guess helps to it forces them to eat more slowly too, which is good for controlling weight, I guess. But other than that, do these other things that we talked about, do they all work for an overweight cat to try to get their weight down?
Sure, you have to do that very gradual. You never want to have an extreme weight loss or extreme weight gain with a cat. It has to be gradual. and you only work with how much the cat can do. Generally speaking, cats that are obese are kind of out of shape. And that's why they're one of the reasons they're obese. They need to burn calories. So as they say, making them work a little bit for their food and making them hunt a little bit and move, make sure they move around is very helpful. And even some, depends on the cat, but sometimes placing, for a really obese cat, sometimes placing that food up high on the cat tree can be a good thing for that cat if they can climb up. But again, you have to work with each individual cat. They all have their limitations. You know, I had one client whose cat was like, oh gosh, it was about 35 pounds. It was not good. It couldn't even wash himself. And that cat was not moving. And so for that cat, at first we started with that cat and just reaching and touching the toy. And then the cat would get a tiny little thing to eat. And then gradually the cat was able to move around more. And so we worked with that until the cat was actually starting to lose, and did lose. It took a while, but did lose weight very gradually. And a lot of it had to do with monitoring the food, but also having the cat work a little bit and move around for the food. Huh? Food was very motivating.
How's that cat today?
I don't know. It's been years since I've seen the client. It's been about 10 years since I've saw that client.
Oh, yeah. Don't even know if the cat's still around, but yeah.
No idea.
Yeah. Does the way you approach this for older cats any different than for young cats?
Definitely. You have to, again, work within that cat's means. So older cats, in addition to some having cognitive decline, not all, but they may also have arthritis, or they may have other painful things going on. So you have to be very careful and work with that. And it's a good idea to talk to the veterinarian and find out, you know, and of course the owners, find out what the limitations of the cats are.
Have you ever run into a case where there were behavioral issues that the cat had that kind of interfered with the cat getting involved in various enrichment or stimulation activities?
Yeah, pica. So for instance, pica is one where the cat is eating, for instance, wool sucking, but then chewing on and eating the wool, whatever that is, or eating clothes and things like that. So you have to be very, very careful on what kind of toys and what you have out for those cats. Something like that often takes a combination of vet intervention as well as behavior modification. It can take meds. The vet has to be involved. So that definitely can limit on what you give the cat. Also, another thing, too, since you mentioned it, catnip is interesting because catnip can be good, but it also imitates a queen in heat. So some males, not all, but some male cats can become aggressive when they are exposed to catnip. So you want to...
That's something I
careful.
Never knew. Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
So if you're having intra-cat issues, you want to make sure that if you are giving the cats catnip, that you separate them. You separate the males from the females. It lasts about 20 minutes. Catnip lasts about 20 minutes. You want to keep the cats separated.
And it doesn't matter whether they're fixed or not.
That's correct.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you suggest to someone who's... Where does someone start? What's the first thing that they should do in trying to enrich their cat's life? Should they start simple and kind of go from there? Or what would you suggest to people?
Well, I suggest that they look at how they're feeding the cat and they gradually change it. You never do anything. Cats, you have to do things very gradually with cats. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you start, instead of feeding the cat twice a day, okay, you give the cat multiple meals throughout the day, but you may want to start with that gradually. You don't free feed, again, that would be a gradual, you gradually stop free feeding. Also play, it's extremely important, anybody can do that. You use toys for playing. You want to make sure that you give cats a lot of things to play with, like the ball and track toys. Soft toys that are safe are good. Now, that's the other thing. Cats can get bored, and so unless there's a favorite toy, you want to rotate them or make them novel. So after a week, you then put out another set of toys, put the other one elsewhere. You can make them novel by rubbing treats on them. The novelty is important. Very easy to start with.
If every cat is different, are there some cats that just don't want to exercise, period? Like some people I know?
I can relate.
Me too.
Well, that's why you want to make sure that the cat, there's a good reason for the cat will want to exercise. So, again, you can start small, and then if you know there's a favorite treat, you make the cat work for the treat, and that, again, will be exercise.
Sure.
So with that, but having said that, again, depending on the cat, reaching for, tracking a toy, you reinforce that. You always want to reinforce it. Now, that doesn't mean a treat. When I say reinforcing, it doesn't always have to be a food treat, okay? A treat means something, anything that rocks that cat's socks, and that might be petting, that might be strokes, that might be being brushed, okay?
Anything that gives you closer contact with your cat. Now, I found, though, with some cats, it depends on how they were, their history with people, I guess, and maybe how well they were bonded with people from the start, from when they were kittens or whatnot. But I've run across cats that just won't let you touch them, period.
That's true. Sure, of course, there are a lot of cats that are that way. Certainly. And it could be they were feral. You know, there are many, many reasons. I use clicker training to socialize, to help socialize. It's very effective. I've worked with many rescue groups and some shelters on helping them socialize their cats using clicker training.
So can you give me sort of a quick overview of how that's done? I mean, how do you use clicker to make a cat more friendly and affectionate or something?
Well, first of all, the way it works is that normally, okay, so there are three things you need. A cat. You need something the cat loves. Again, remember, a treat doesn't have to be food. In the case of a very scared cat, sometimes a treat is taking a step backwards. And then you need something that will become a communication device or tool when it is paired with the treat. So, for instance, when I'm working with rescue groups and they have very fearful cats that are in cages and they want them to come forward, the first thing I do is instead of using a clicker, which is what you normally use, I use a mouth click like that. And then what I do, because usually very fearful cats will not eat in front of people. They just won't. It won't work. But they do want, you're kind of close to the cage, and when you mouth click, you immediately step back a little bit, and you just keep doing that. And what happens after a while, when the cat comes forward, you stay where you are, but then you approach a little bit the cat, and then if the cat stays where the cat is, you're going to mouth click again. So it's hard to explain it kind of on the phone, but it's a way of reinforcing the cat when they're coming forward. But the way you reinforce is by stepping back, because that's what they want. After a while, if you know what the cat loves, you can substitute a little bit of food if the cat will start to eat. And sometimes that means tossing it towards the cat, towards the back of the cage. But right. It is a complicated process, which is difficult to explain on the phone. You have to see it.
Oh, you have to make a video or something.
We may do that.
Okay, well, I guess we pretty much covered it. Is there anything we haven't mentioned that you feel is important for people to know?
No, I think we pretty much covered it all. Except my book is called Naughty No More. It's available on Amazon. And it concentrates on using clicker training along with other tools, not just clicker training, to change behaviors and reinforce behaviors you want.
And if one thing doesn't seem to work for your cat, there are other alternative things that you could do, correct?
Yeah, as long as it's not, it's reinforcing. As long as it's reinforcing behaviors.
Well, Marilyn, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I really appreciate you joining me today.
Well, thank you for asking.
All right. The book is called Cat Fancies Naughty No More, Change Unwanted Behaviors Through Positive Reinforcement.
Yes, but now I think it's Lumina Media, because it's Lumina Media.
Oh, okay. I'm just reading the the signature on your email, so that's
okay. Oh. So I'm going to change that. Okay.
I wondered if their publishing company was still around, Cat Fancy, if they're...
Was Bowtie, and the answer is no. No, now it's Lumina... actually, that's not true. It's now Chapel Hill. Lumina Media was sold as Chapel Hill, I think, is the name of the publisher.
I can't keep up with them. I don't know. but you've stayed with them. You've been a part of the whole thing, including the migration to Catster, right? I mean, you still write for Catster.
Oh, yeah. You know, companies keep buying each other.
Yeah, I know.
So, right.
Especially in this industry, it seems.
Yes. So the online presence, Catster Online, is certainly there. I don't know if the, not sure the magazine of the hard magazine, what's going on there, but Catster Online is certainly around.
Oh, so you're not... You don't still have a column with Catster Magazine?
No.
Oh, okay.
They've changed. As they say, they've been bought and they've gone through lots of changes.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're still around. We can count We can count on you, Marilyn.
Absolutely.
All right.
Definitely.
Well, thanks so much, and I hope to have you back again soon.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pet Radio Show podcast and visiting our website, petradioshow.com. We really appreciate it. Hope that we are filling your need and fix for everything pet. And please check out our discussion forum, petradioshow.com, where you can ask questions of our guests or connect with other pet enthusiasts. And our store, the Happy Paws store, is featuring Dogs Love Kale and Dogs Love Snap Peas Superfood Dog Treats. The treats your dogs will love and is actually very good for them, giving them the superfood nutrients that they need for a long and healthy life. And if you buy 3 bags of these superfood snacks, you get a 4th bag for free. Buy 3, get 1 free. That's at the PetRadioShow.com store from the homepage of our website. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time.